This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Now, in retrospect here, a guy named Cliff Simon, the actor from, I think, New Zealand or Australia, who played Baal, the Gauld, in a lot of the episodes, with and without the echo, he had an interest in the paranormal. And I thought, let me write to the guy, because this is years after Stargate, maybe he's not so famous and he'll respond. And like a week later, he died in an accident. Opportunities lost.
Well, here's a story that's sort of like that. Tom Carey was looking for a guy named Danson, who was an archaeologist, anthropologist back in the 40s and 50s. And he actually got to him through Ted Danson, his son. Yeah, Ted Danson, the actor. So I thought it was kind of interesting. We got to the anthropologist that we needed to talk to through the son. So some of these things work out.
They sure do. They sure do. Let's get back to supposedly the real world, not the fake world. Although we don't know. We might be in a twilight zone here where we do not know what's going on. In any case, it's like every hearing they hold in Congress is a repetition of the previous hearing. Well, we got all this stuff going on. We've explained some of it. We can't explain other things. But there's no evidence that it's E.T., off-world, or whatever. But we got people around who believe it is E.T., not just the guy who was talking about billions of light years, but the late Senator Harry Reid. My impression is, based on what he said, he was an E.T. guy. Even Mellon, I think, is.
I think there's a quote out from Mellon from around 2016. I think it's Mellon, where he was suggesting there was no alien visitation. And so he has become enlightened. Flip-flopped, however you want to phrase it.
Isn't that the definition of politician?
But is Mellon a politician or is he a bureaucrat?
Well, he was a deputy secretary of defense, being a presidential appointee.
Well, that's not really a politician. It's more of a bureaucrat, which is a whole different argument.
Doesn't matter, I don't think. The question I have here is, if Mellon knew this guy, Grush, for a number of years. He's been around for a while, even though we only heard from him recently. And whatever it is, if Mellon is vouching for him, maybe he isn't a good judge of character, or he's basically saying that he's part of it.
Well, here's a question for you then. Wasn't Mellon part of the Stars Academy?
Well, nobody's perfect.
Well, I'm just suggesting that Mellon may not be the most credible of sources here.
Well, maybe he just fell for the spiel they were presenting, because he's gone from to the Stars Academy. Luis Elizondo had a presence there. One or two other people of some prominence, they're all gone, and to the Stars Academy is what and where?
Well, the point simply is, you know, we're looking at the same cast of characters today that were involved with the To the Stars Academy and some of this other stuff that has slid off the rails. And with the To the Stars Academy, we didn't have good sources for that. We didn't have good vetting on that. We had people showing up talking about, well, we have pieces of metal that came from the Roswell crash. Well, how do you know that? What's your evidence for that? Where did it come from? What I'm saying is we're kind of in the same place. We now got a new crew, but we've got some of the old people, and we still don't have any of the things that we need from the outside to vet the information and vet the sources. And that's what we need before we climb aboard the train, I guess.
It's like we're in an echo chamber. We hear the same thing over and over again since 2017.
Well, not to
denigrate Ralph Blumenthal, who won the Pulitzer Prize for heading the coverage of the 1993 World Trade Center disaster, Leslie Kane, who is certainly a pretty serious woman, they took Grush very seriously. But if you look at the history of the article, it was presented to the New York Times, and they were taking a lot of time to vet the article. It was presented to the Washington Post, ditto. And finally, it ended up in The Brief, which is an online publication from M.J. Benias and Micah Hanks.
Well, and that's a very good point. But I was going to say, we've been through this before, not with this cast of characters. We can go back to the beginning of the UFO field and with a whole different cast of characters coming out and talking about UFOs, and then the next thing we know, it's all gone away. And we've run through that a number of times. 1952, to move us toward the Washington Nationals, we had the sightings over Washington, D.C., and then 6 months later, we had the Robertson panel, which was commissioned to study UFOs and find out if there's anything to it. And they said, we looked at it. There's nothing to it. And the mission of Project Blue Book, rather than to investigate UFOs from that point on, became to a public relations outfit to kind of explain away the mystery. Then we had the Condon Committee in 1969 at the University of Colorado, and they were going to do a scientific study of UFOs. And what we find out from that is, before the investigation began, Lieutenant Colonel Robert Hippler wrote to Dr. Robert Lowe of the Condon Committee, Hippler being an Air Force officer, and said, here's what we would like you to find. The Air Force did a good job investigating UFOs. There's nothing to it, and it doesn't affect national security. And lo and behold, 18 months later, that's exactly what they found. And so now we're moving to this latest activity, which has gone on for literally years now, with all kinds of government participants. I watched the NASA meetings. I've watched the Senate hearings. And where are we? We've got Grush saying, I can't get into the specifics here. We've got the two Navy pilots talking about what they've talked about for the last, 6 years. We're no further along today than we were back when Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal published their original article in the New York Times.
The other person, remember, who wrote the article was Helene Cooper, who's the Pentagon correspondent for the Times. More to the point, if this article had not been written and published, would we be talking about any of this right now?
Maybe, because this stuff has come up. Don Schmidt and I began an investigation of Roswell in 1990, and the next thing you know, the Air Force is reinvestigating the Roswell case. We actually triggered that investigation because of what we were saying and what we were doing and the kind of publicity we were getting, albeit not all of it great, but was still people were talking about it until the Air Force came out and says, yeah, it's a Project Mogul balloon and anthropomorphic dummies, for crying out loud. But the point is, something would have triggered it. I looked at the cycles in the UFO field, and we can see that there's periodically something happens and it fires the public imagination. 1973, nobody's really talking about UFOs, and then it became national news when Hickson and Parker were abducted. And then there was all kinds of stuff going on about UFOs at the time, and we can look at other times when that's happened. So I think we would be talking about it, maybe not today, maybe it'd be 3 or 4 years down the road, maybe it would have been a little bit earlier, but we would have been talking about it because it always comes back. It always becomes something that people want to talk about.
So if it wasn't this, it'd be another thing.
That's kind of what I'm saying. If something would have come up, and it would have been this or something else.
Like the person on Saturday Night Live said, if it's not one thing, it's another.
Yes, yes. But I think, you know, it's well, in 1966, for example, we had the sightings in Michigan that interested Gerald Ford. And I think that culminated in the Air Force response and the attempting to find a organization to investigate UFOs the way they wanted investigated. And that's how they ended up at the University of Colorado, because a number of other universities have been approached and didn't want to do it.
Well, at least now, if you approach a university and ask them to study UAPs, you know, after all, we do have Dr. Avi Loeb. Anyway, we got more to come with Tim and Gene and Kevin. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
And by the way, folks, Kevin Randall will stick with us for the After the Paracast podcast because we never run out of things to say with him.
I will?
You will. Yes, you are. We're holding you down, okay. Feet to the fire. The Washington Nationals, Flying Saucers Over the Capitol. That's his most recent book. And I'm going to ask him, more about it. This is like a new version of a book called Invasion Washington. But I like the title now much better. And for sports enthusiasts, it's especially good. But we're talking here about the modern interest in UAPs, the alleged whistleblower, David Grush. Now, let me ask you about that, too. With Luis Elizondo, he's not really a whistleblower. He's just somebody who worked there and came out and decided, I think, to profit on what he did.
And there is a profit motive. I think there's people out there who think that you can make an awful lot of money off flying saucers if you tell the proper story. And in talking to Jan Herzog, who was at one time the executive director of MUFON, about some of the invitations to their symposium, he was more interested in having people come to the symposium than presenting good scientific analysis of the phenomenon. And so there are people, they would pay good money to come and lecture. And you can get invited to an awful lot of conferences around, literally around the world, if you have a good enough story and you are a good enough storyteller. So you have to take a look at that. But I don't think it's a, I don't think it's really a place where a lot of people can make a lot of money. I think that, you know, it's really kind of a narrow point to get to.
Of course, remember Jim Moseley's only serious book, shockingly close to the truth, that he wrote with Carl Plath. He had an advance, and this was placed through an agent, by the way. I did better without an agent, although I got one later. He got $4,000 advance, two authors, right? $4,000. Yes. Now, for him to make another dime, and Kevin knows this, of course, and I know this, and certainly Tim does, we've all done books, you have to sell enough books so that your royalty exceeds that $4,000. Otherwise, you don't get a dime. Now, some years later, his publisher contacts Jim and says, we'll sell you our remaining stock at a big discount, which Jim did not take advantage of for obvious reasons. Therefore, the book never earned out. I don't know how many UFO books earn any money.
Mine have earned out. A number of them have earned out, so there have been subsequent royalty checks. The first book I did, the UFO Casebook, back in 1989, what I could not believe, the book earned out pretty quickly, and so we proposed a second book to him, and the publisher wasn't interested. I'm thinking the book earned out, man. The other thing you should point out, though, is that the writer gets very little of the cover price. So you're looking at a book that costs $20, and you're thinking, well, they sell a book that costs $20 into the writer's pocket. No. We're lucky if we get 10% of the cover price. The lion's share goes to the distributors and the bookstores.
So it's like being in the record industry. You're recording a pop song, and millions of copies are sold of that pop song. And you may get pennies on each unit sale, or you may get ripped off, like Tommy James and the Shondells. Tommy James got ripped off tremendously for selling like 50 million records. 50 million records. My God, he's a multimillionaire. Maybe he is now. But he got ripped off. John Fogerty. Creedence Clearwater Revival sold
We don't
tens
even
of millions.
Have to talk about the record industry. I can talk about my own experiences in that respect.
Sure.
Bob Cornett and I wrote began a series of books called Scorpion Squad. And they published all four books. We didn't even get paid the entire advance. So, because it was, you know, as you probably know, it's not, you don't, if you get a $4,000 advance, you don't necessarily get $4,000 up front. There's conditions for it. When you turn in the acceptable manuscript, when it does this, when it does that, then you get additional cash. And so the way that, because it was set up for a four-book series, the way it was set up, we did not get all the cash up front. We got part of it, and then the publisher didn't give us the money for the last book. So, you know, it's just a bad deal all around.
It's like you think of movies that supposedly are money losers. And we know obvious things like the last Indiana Jones movie and The Flash. But the Men in Black movie, Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith, J and K and that thing, it grossed $600 million, I think, for Sony. It cost $90 million to make. You think, wow, that movie earned tens of millions for people. Yeah, but on the books, it's carried as a money loser.
I know one of the things they do is it costs X number of dollars to make the movie. Then you double that for the marketing.
Right.
And then, of course, they've got to pay the distributors. They've got to pay the theater owners and all of that stuff. But I don't really have much sympathy for the movie industry because they ripped me off, too. So there you go.
The average wage of an actor, a member of SAG and AFTRA, is $27.17 per hour. That's when they're working. The problem is the average salary is $10,000 a year. So we have tens of thousands of actors who are earning nothing. They're barely breaking even. In fact, the stars of a cable, well, I think with a streaming services hit show, had to have a second job like at a fast food place to pay the bills. Sure, we have Tom Cruise and Dwayne Johnson and people like that, or others, Robert Downey Jr., who make tens of millions of dollars on their product. But for every one of those people, there's 10,000 who don't earn more than a few dimes.
Well, we can say the same thing about writers.
Of course.
You know, if the books don't earn out, I think at one point they were talking about the hourly wage for a writer works out to about a buck and a half an hour.
That high?
But the idea is you put in the time at the lower end of the spectrum, hoping that you become the next Stephen King or the next J.K. Rowling. And unfortunately, the guys don't reach down and touch all of us on the shoulder. So we toil for a little bit of money. People think that I got rich writing UFO books. That's simply untrue. So, and I told Philip Klass made a big deal about the UFO crash at Roswell book and what we were paid for the advance, which wasn't all that great. And I told him I would have written a book for nothing. It was a story I wanted to tell. And sometimes that's where it is in the UFO field or even in the fiction field or whatever field you're in. Sometimes you have a story you just have to tell. And you're not worried about the returns. You want people to see the story. You want people to get into the story and understand what's going on.
Hey, we're going to have a lot more to talk about with Kevin Randall and Tim Swartz and Gene Steinberg. And who knows who else might turn up. Maybe some invisible beings will send us weird messages. More to come. You're in.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Two people are in critical condition after shots were fired at a community outreach event Friday night in Seattle. Police say at least two suspects are being sought. Former President Trump is mocking fellow Republican presidential candidate Will Hurd, who said Trump was only running for president to stay out of prison, unquote. Trump responded on social media calling Hurd a, quote, little-known failed former congressman. At least eight dogs have died while being transported to a canine training facility in Indiana. More than a dozen German shepherds were being driven from the Chicago O'Hare International Airport when the air conditioning unit stopped working. The National Weather Service says some relief is on the way for the Midwest and Northeast as a cold front pushes south from Canada. That will set the stage for thunderstorms and milder temperatures across the region into next week. Jerry Barmash, USA News.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
My best-selling books were Using AOL from 1994 and Using AOL Second Edition. And I'll reveal the figure because it never happened again. One quarterly advance payment from the publisher for one of those AOL books was $64,000. Never happened again, not even close to it.
That's a nice chunk of change.
Oh, yeah, it's like getting a year's income. It was just so terrific. But then the next year, forget about it.
Well, Bob Cornett and I did a series of books called The Vietnam Ground Zero. And, of course, we're splitting the advance, and we have to pay the agent. And so when you figure all of that in, it wasn't all that great. And then our royalties from those books were pennies. It wasn't even like 10% of the cover price. It was literally pennies. And so the way we made any money was to continue to write the books until the series ended. But yeah, it just hasn't been. It just, you have to want to do that. I always felt writing was better than heavy lifting. So I didn't mind. And my other job was I was in the military, the reserve, and then the National Guard, and that was paying a nice piece of change for service until we had to go to Iraq. That was kind of a bummer.
Well, the thing, of course, also is in the magazine publishing industry, a lot of these small publishers, like a guy named Myron Fass was one that Tim Beckley did some books for. What they would do is they would put out a lot of magazines on different subjects, and they'd live on the advance from the distributor. And usually you could sustain this over many issues, even if the magazine was a money loser. And it's almost like a Ponzi scheme, I think. You know, when you just keep living off these advances, and eventually it stops. But till then, you could at least pay the bills.
Well, I always said that I went to the University of Iowa on a Saga scholarship. Saga was a men's magazine, not like Playboy or Penthouse, but a magazine geared to stories that men would be interested in. And they did UFO stuff. And then they started doing UFO Report. And the payment for an article almost covered my tuition for a semester. And so every semester I would luck out and get an article published there and could pay my tuition that way. And then there were other magazines. At one point there was like six magazines that were vying for the UFO information. And so I was making a nice little living by writing articles for those magazines under my name and a series of others. And so I could pay my other bills that way. And then, of course, I was doing the reserve thing, and that paid additional bills. So, but you could do that. But the thing was, you had to have a nice backlog so that you weren't writing an article that you thought was going to pay me today. You had to write that article 6 months ago to get the check. And people didn't understand that. You write the article and they don't immediately issue the check. You have to wait for them to pay you. So, and I did an article for Argosy magazine, and I only mentioned that because my father was impressed that I'd written an article for Argosy magazine, because he remembered his father reading Argosy magazine back in the 30s. And I think it was like the last issue Argosy ever published. And I sent a letter to the editor there that I was working with, and I said, well, you've got the last article from me. The sheriff's at the door, knocking at the door. He's going to repossess my typewriter. I need my money. So,
how close that was.
I helped pay my way through college doing the same thing. That was a time when there were a handful of UFO and paranormal-related magazines.
Yes.
That actually paid money.
Yes.
But you see, that was a time where you can go to college and get there with a very low tuition. Nowadays, you've got to give them the rest of your life's income, like half of it, for, you know, to afford the student loan.
I think in today's environment, if you look around, you can probably avoid that problem of student loans. And you have to be cognizant of what the ramifications are of the student loans. I know we had guys, when we went to Iraq, we had guys who had just begun semesters in various universities. And the universities were very kind. So don't worry about this. You know, we'll get you back when you come back. It's no big deal. But the deal was, you could make literally tens of thousands of dollars from the guard that would help you pay your college if you were willing to do that. And the investment of time wasn't all that great. And I didn't understand why more students didn't take advantage of that as well. They would help pay for your college, and then you're getting paid for being in the guard. And then you get called up and go to Iraq, which was kind of a bummer. But I mean, I think that part of the problem with student loans is kind of a lazy way of paying for your college. You don't think about paying it back. You think, instead of having to work your way through college, which a lot of us did, I was lucky because I could do it by writing magazine articles and being in the National Guard and things like that. But I think a lot of the students think of it as a way, well, I don't have to work. I can just concentrate on my studies.
Let's get into the political aspects on a different show. I'm going to get back to flying saucers. Let's call them flying saucers again. I still like
that
term.
Okay, I'm on board.
Okay, Tim, you've got more questions from our audience.
Yeah, we've got, and this is going to your Washington Nationals book, and this is from Sign Flosser, skilled investigator. Sounds like an old radio program. Sign Flosser, skilled investigator.
Let me do it for you. Sign philosopher, skilled investigator, and gay. No, that's not it. Go ahead.
Let's see. Mr. Flosser says that he's just finished the audiobook version of the Washington Nationals, and he says it's great that some of your books were available in audio form. He says, in this book, you thoroughly explain why the objects seen in the skies over Washington, D.C. on those two consecutive weekends in 1952 were solid and apparently intelligently controlled, ruling out the temperature inversion explanation. So his question is, why are there no known photographs of the objects over D.C., especially from the second weekend? Because you'd think that after the first weekend, saucer buffs and shutterbugs would have been primed to watch the skies for a while. Why no photographs?
While the people might have been primed to watch the skies, back in 1952, there wasn't the prevalence of cameras that we have today. You had to have film, and you had to have film of sufficient quality that it would pick up the object. And I think if somebody attempted to photograph the objects in the Washington sky, they may have gotten a nice picture of the sky as opposed to anything in it. I think you have to look at all of that stuff. There are other pictures from 1952. There just aren't any from those two consecutive weekends. And the other thing you have to remember is the objects didn't show up until after dark. And I know it really has to do with the speed of the film, I think. You needed a high-quality, high-speed film to be able to photograph the things. With the Lubbock lights back in 1951, just the year before, there's the photographs that Carl Hart Jr. took. But the photo editor for the Avalanche Journal, which is the Lubbock newspaper, thought that what he had photographed were the lights reflecting off the white breasts of ducks flying in formation. There were no ducks flying in formation in Lubbock at that time that had white breasts, but that's a whole other argument. But he was up on the roof of the building attempting to photograph these dim objects as they went over, and he couldn't do it. So I think it really has to do with the capabilities of the camera, the prevalence of cameras, the time of day that the majority of the sightings took place. I think all worked against having any photographs. In today's environment, you see an event and there's 9,000 people around there photographing it with their cell phones, which are incredibly good cameras now.
We've got more to come with Kevin, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I agree with you about the cameras on all those smartphones, billions of them. But the problem is here, taking something way up there in the sky and getting good detail is difficult. They're great for close-up. If you have a close UFO sighting and it's, you know, 100 yards away or something, and you take a photo, it's going to look beautiful if you get one. But if it's going to be way up there in the sky, as clear as a bell, not so much if you even remember to take out your phone to take a picture.
Well, and back in 1952, people weren't running around with cameras in their hip pockets either, like we are today. You know, everybody's got their cell phone with them. But the other thing is, okay, you take a picture of a, you attempt to take a picture of a point of light in the sky in 1952, and basically what you're probably going to get is a picture of the sky without that point of light showing up. It's just not enough brightness, and the film just wasn't that good, especially the films that most people were using. So I have no problem with that. There are pictures from 1952 that are interesting. They just were none from the Washington Nationals. And I do want to interrupt to say one thing. The greatest UFO headline I ever saw was right out of a science fiction movie, and it dealt with the 1952 sightings, and it was from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Banner headline across the front page, "Saucers Swarm Over Capitol." I mean, there's a science fiction headline if I ever read one. I thought it was great.
Now, if I recall what Major Kehoe wrote at the time, the official Air Force explanation was temperature inversions. Is that correct?
Yes.
So explain what that means and why it wasn't the answer.
Well, temperature inversion was you have a layer of cold air over a layer of hot air. So you get a refraction of the atmosphere, not unlike when you put a pencil in a glass of water, you know, how it's bent, you get a refraction. And so the idea was the radar waves, the electronic waves, would come out and hit this inversion layer, and then they would divert to the ground, pick up objects on the ground, and then they would bounce back to the radar screen. So you had the temperature inversion was creating the radar picture. Then the next question is, well, what are people looking at? Because there were sightings that people were seeing. I talked to both Dewey Fournet and Al Chop, who were in the radar room that night when this was going on, the second night. And one of them, and I think it was Fournet, told me that we had a radar experts in there. I said, this is not a spurious, anomalous propagation here. This is a real solid object. And then they would call the airlines, or they'd talk to the airline pilots and say, you know, we've got an object off to your right. Can you see it? And they would say, yes. And so you've got the object showing up on multiple radar screens on the ground. At least three, at one point, at least three radar screens were showing the same object. And then you've got fighters that were scrambled, and in one case, the fighter's radar picked up the object. And so you have all of that going on. So it's not just guys seeing lights in the sky. It's people seeing the lights in the sky. The Air Force pilot's trying to chase them down. You've got the radar object seen on radar. So you've got multiple chains of evidence going on here. So that kind of rules out the temperature inversion. And then the weather aspect of it suggested that although there were inversion layers in the Washington, D.C. area at the time, they weren't very strong layers. And they wouldn't persist until throughout the night. So you've got all these things arguing against the temperature inversion explanation. I think if I read it correctly, and I may have misinterpreted it, but when General Sanford was having his press conference in late July 1952 to talk about this, they didn't really have an explanation, and this temperature inversion explanation seemed to grow out of the questioning by the reporters. And I think they kind of jumped on it and said, yeah, that's it. We can run with that. I got the impression it was just something that hadn't been solidified until we get to the press conference. And then because of the way the press conference went, everybody jumped on it. And by the way, the other general officer in the room at the time, this press conference, was Roger Ramey. Yeah, the same guy from the Roswell case some 5 years earlier. So it's kind of interesting. Major General Roger Ramey was involved in that press conference.
He doesn't object to being overexposed.
Pardon me?
He doesn't fear overexposure.
Who? Ramey?
Yeah, it's a showbiz term.
The Roswell thing, you have to remember the Roswell thing in 1952 is dead. Nobody's talking about Roswell. Nobody cared about it. If you saw anything about Roswell, it usually was, well, it was just a weather balloon and let's forget about it. That story was dead in 1952. You go to the Project Blue Book files, you cannot find a reference to the, even the explanation. There's one story in another file, and I think it's from July 10th, 1947, and it's a four-paragraph newspaper clipping, and all it says is the officers in Roswell were issued a blistering rebuke for their identification of a flying saucer last week. That's the only reference I can find in the Project Blue Book files to Roswell. So by the time you get to 1952, nobody's talking about it. Nobody associates Roger Ramey with it, so there's really no problem there. All of this becomes more evident after Don and I began looking at the Roswell case, and we got an awful lot of people interested in it. You remember Bill Moore and Charles Berlitz did a book called The Roswell Incident in 1980, and it didn't make much of a splash, especially in the UFO community. It wasn't until Jesse Marcel came out and began to talk about it, and then Don and I began the investigation, that the field kind of began to look at the Roswell case more seriously than it had in the past. You could find very few references to Roswell before that. The Flying Saucer Serious Business by Frank Edwards, Chapter 4, I think it is picking up the pieces, and there's a story. The beginning of that chapter deals with Roswell. It mentions Roswell. It mentions the rancher, and that's about the only facts he got right in that. He said the Air Force explained it with a pie tin attached to a weather balloon. Well, no, it was a Raywind radar target, but that's a whole other argument. But you got very few stories suggesting something real had happened at Roswell, and Edwards didn't provide any names, so you didn't know who to talk to. And when Jesse Marcel came out, they pretty much ignored the story, except for Len Stringfield, because they didn't know anything about it. It wasn't until Moore was looking at newspapers from 1947 that he found the picture of Jesse Marcel on the front page of the newspaper, and that gave them the date of when it happened and where it happened. So you have to look at all of that. But in today's environment, everybody knows where Roswell, what Roswell is or what it means. It was even a clue on Jeopardy once that it's so well known. But it wasn't until after 1990 that all that information began to seep out into the public arena. So Ramey being at that press conference meant nothing to nobody. Nobody associated him with the weather balloon in Fort Worth in 1947.
What about that photograph that allegedly was taken of the fleet of UFOs over the Capitol building? I think it was supposed to be over the second weekend of the UFO flap. I mean, you could read a UFO book from the 1960s without that photograph being included.
Absolutely, and it's a hoax, and it's obviously a double exposure. So it's I think it's pretty well established as a hoax, but yeah, you've got that. There were other pictures from 1952, not quite that spectacular. You got the Salem, Massachusetts picture taken by the Coast Guard man and the four lights in the sky, which, of course, the Project Blue Book, I think, has said reflections on the windows. And I'm thinking, okay, so if the four lights were reflection on the windows and the guy standing inside took pictures of the reflections on the windows, how come those reflections of the on the windows never appeared again? You know, it's the internal lighting source, lighting the windows. Certainly the circumstances would have repeated themselves, and they would have said, oh, yeah, that's what we saw. But there are other better pictures than that. That one, that picture of the fleet over the Washington Nationals and Capitol Building. Yeah, that's a pretty well established hoax.
Yeah, and you can still see places using that photograph. I think somebody has even gone and made a video that was allegedly, you know, it was supposed to be taken from like a 16mm film at the time of that, but you can tell very easily that it's CGI.
Yeah, and the other problem is well, on the original cover of the UFO crash at Roswell, the picture was a well-known contactee hoax. I'm thinking it was Dan Fry who supposedly took the picture. That might not be wrong, but we knew the picture was a hoax, and Don and I were outraged when we saw the cover and said, you can't use that picture, it's a hoax. And they said, well, we've already printed the covers. And I was like, thanks for allowing us to approve them. On the next edition, they changed the cover. And then there was a third edition where it had even a different cover altogether. So we did get the picture changed, but yeah, that was just one of those things. So there's an awful lot of hoax pictures out there.
Kevin, Gene, Tim, much more to come. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.